How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good. Did you know we're doing your reading tomorrow night?
No, I did not know that. Do you want me to be in class tomorrow night?
Is that possible?
Sure.
Because I don't want you to miss it. It's really cool. You have a copy of it already, I think.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah. But we're going to tear yours apart. It doesn't mean you can't do it tonight, too, if you want to.
Okay.
It's just, I would hate for you to miss your own reading.
Right. Well, listen, I have company over here tonight, so I could just come back tomorrow.
That'd be fine. We'll enjoy your company.
Well, thank you. It's just good to hear that everybody's back.
Yes, everybody's back, and the new apprentices will be joining us in a few weeks, and it'll be all just really wonderful.
Okay, well, I will see you tomorrow night.
Okay, good.
Hello.
Hello, Dan.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Oh, doing okay.
Well, that's good. Have the holiday seasons been a lot to go through?
Yeah, it's been some pretty challenging times here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that because of stuff at home?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I thought so. It came out in the reading. Did you see that?
That didn't jump out at me.
Oh, okay. It did. Oh, yeah. I am going to ask you if you have a way of having your volume up tonight. It would be very helpful because I'm hearing in duplicate.
Okay.
So I have to use as much as my perceptix as I can to understand what people are saying.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll let you know, because if I can't understand you or hear you, it makes it sort of pointless. So Tom came on a bit ago, and we talked about he decided to do tomorrow night since his readings were covering tomorrow night. But I would think some others would be joining us.
I'm here.
Is that Randy?
Yes.
Hey.
Hi.
Very good.
Yeah.
And Jennifer?
Jennifer's coming.
Okay. Well, why don't we light our candles and proceed? No problem.
That was me.
Oh, okay. Glad to know it wasn't me. Let me know when you all are ready to bless.
Ready to go.
Ready.
Child of wonder.
Child
of flame.
Flame.
Nourish our spirit.
And
protect our aim.
Protect our aim.
Wonderful. So then, was walking in beauty helpful for you through the holidays in spite of their stressfulness?
Well, I did some of that, and I felt the need to do some of the in my wisdom, too.
I see. Okay. So what effects did you get from walking in beauty?
A little bit of a...
You're real quiet again.
Okay, I think there was a little bit of maybe calm before the storm.
Okay.
Respite.
Okay. So, when you get that sense of calm before the storm, what happens? How can you stay more there? What takes you away?
energy being pulled from me.
Now, you know that no one can pull energy from you that you don't willingly give.
I have head knowledge of that, yes.
Okay. Good. So you haven't yet confirmed that. That's okay. That's okay. That's just fine. Just fine. So just keep that as a question for yourself as we go through our studies, because at a certain point you may discover how to hold your location, what we call a location, or your anchor points, we refer to them as, rather than being pulled off. And don't concern yourself, because that's everybody gets pulled off their anchor points. Everybody. And our wish and our studies, our aim, is to learn how not to. And it's a long study, so don't be discouraged. Just look forward to all the bits of knowledge you'll get that will support that, okay?
I'm getting plenty of practice right now.
Oh, good. So, Randy, how about you? How did walking in beauty help you or affect you in regards to a sort of a season of madness?
Well, yes, it was a season of madness. I was pretty kind of down over the holidays. But walking in beauty, every time I said that, I was just made more aware of the beauty around me. As far as the sky, the earth, the trees, everything that's alive, and then I'd see a person, and I'd think, well, I don't see a lot of beauty there.
Okay. So you see this tremendous contrast.
Yeah.
You know, suppose I told you that perhaps 99% of all the people in the world are stark raving mad.
Well, I would believe that they have no idea what's going on.
Well, do you know what the definition of madness is?
No.
It's to adhere to a set of beliefs that do not are not consistent with actuality. And at a certain point in your studies, you will not, from an intellectual standpoint, from a very deep, what we call silent knowledge standpoint, you will be totally aware that we live in what some people refer to as a topsy-turvy world, in which what most people believe is totally not so. And so, you know, your reaction, which you see from your own belief system, you would say that your reaction to what you saw and felt was to feel down. Some people might call it depressed.
Yeah.
Whatever. And what I want you to understand is that if one did not label that anything, that is simply the actuality of the contrast of seeing. In fact, in Buddhism, it's referred to as tender heart, which has a level of sadness to it, because that is the situation of the world, and there is not a whole lot in one given instant as we perceive it that we can do about it, because that's people's free choice.
Mm.
So
that really gets it complicated.
What do you mean?
Well, if you consider that people have free choice and that they're actually choosing everything.
Well, now understand that they are mechanically choosing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What we call the law of accident.
Hmm. What is that?
Well, have you noticed in the world that we live in, there's an awful lot of what we call accidents?
Yeah. There are accidents.
And I'm not just talking about cars hitting cars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about mechanical occurrences.
Yeah, the chemical leak in India that killed all those people.
Okay,
like
now
that's
a big one.
Yeah.
But I'm also talking about, you know, rushing to the bus and just missing it.
Oh, that kind of accident, yeah?
Yeah, all of those. Everything that is non-synchronistic. All the things that are non-miraculous.
Okay.
Okay. That generally incur or are manifested along with some level of suffering or stress.
Yeah.
This is all the law under the law of accident. It means that there's a lot more laws at work. The greater number of laws at work, the more we're in prison. The fewer number of laws that we can apply to as you go up the scale towards planetary laws and so forth, we are freer. And we have a higher degree of choice. But at the law of accident, all choice is mechanical.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
So you're involved in a study of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. So you both did very well with that. Jennifer?
Hey, my clocks are off, obviously. We're talking about walking in beauty?
Yeah. Yes, the question I asked is, how did that help or affect in regards to sort of what is, for a lot of people, a very stressful season or holidays.
Well, my experience was, you know how it's insane, you keep doing it over and over and you don't fix it?
Right. You keep doing the same thing and getting the same result?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with this, it was kind of, I kept doing it and it forced some things to work. I felt some hard energy releases.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I've improved.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I could feel an upper tone to things. It was like, wow, I do have some friends, but I just can't see them.
Okay. So, in other words, your paradigm is shifting.
I guess. It's nice.
Yes, it is nice.
It was like, I kept asking, and it kept hitting me again, and it hit me again, and hit me, and finally, it hooked. I could use it.
Well, that's really amazing, because that actually requires a great deal of trust and faith, you know, because what you're doing is you're stepping outside of your mental reality. Which, of course, a lot of that is your reactive mind. Go ahead. You started to say something.
You know, you have always told me, well, you're not listening. I couldn't think, what am I missing? But it's that, it's where your mind shuts down and you just know or feel it. I'm sensing that a lot more, too.
Right. Exactly.
And it's glorious.
Exactly. That's what's called silent knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm starting to, my awareness of it is, I'm not discounting it, you know, like I've thought to.
Good for you. So you got what I meant when I said you're not listening.
Finally, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you have no idea what an incredible gift that is you gave yourself.
Oh, I'm sensing it.
Good for you.
And it keeps expanding in that. Then it crossed my mind that, well, maybe we're going through the ritual too quick. We need to hit ourselves with it for like 2 weeks instead of one.
Well, you can do it so many ways. But the idea that what we're working with is to develop that inventory of what happens when I do this for.
Yeah.
And so it's all right. And we're going to do these over and over and over again anyway, so you won't miss anything.
I can feel it expanding.
That's really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I just wanted to go over anything that you all did magically of any kind during the holidays and how that worked for you. If it's, you know, something that stands out for you. Dan, anything that comes to mind?
I did some water bowl and sent a lot of messages, took on some energy, took off some negative things.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly working with something.
Good for you, because that's what makes it come alive. Yeah, so you're really sort of moving away from your ordinary world to one where you trust your magic.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really fine. Randy, how about you?
Well, I didn't do anything magically over the holidays. The water bowl sounds like a good idea. I think I might do that possibly sometime this week. And as far as trusting the magic, I don't know, I feel kind of bogged down in the trough.
How so?
Well, I can sometimes follow the path of the suits, or the, you know, the when you're connecting
the
cards.
The flow lines.
Flow lines. But I have a hard time interpreting the flow lines. And
okay. If you go to your notes, and if you have a Two of Swords, second carded by a Three of Discs.
Hold on. Get my notes.
See, it's really important by now that you guys have a sense of what the cards look like.
Okay.
Can you visualize those cards I just mentioned?
The Two of Swords?
Yeah.
Let's see.
I can tell you can't.
No, I can't.
Right. You're not doing enough readings.
Okay. Not enough.
You've got to be able, by now, all of you all should be just about able to spot just about any card in your mind.
Wow.
Now, I told you all how to do this, but apparently nobody paid any attention. Every day, you pick a card. Do you remember my saying this?
Oh, yes.
But you didn't do it, did you?
No, I didn't.
That's the way you're going to learn the tarot. If you don't do it, you will not learn the tarot.
All right.
I don't remember what you said.
Every day you pick a card, just randomly. And throughout the day, you find as many situations that have to do with the meaning of that card as you can. Even if you have to start off by writing down on a little card some of the meanings, that's fine. I don't care. But by the end of the day, you will never forget that card. It's so simple.
Yeah.
So, do we take it out, leave it on our plate and look at it, or
no.
Is it important to keep it in the deck?
No, just take it out, look at it, and then go look up the meaning if you need to.
Okay.
Write it down on a 3x5 card.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of students don't even write it down. They just remember it. But if you need to write it down, write it down. So Two of Swords is being able to make choices about what I want. So as you go through your day and you hear someone talking about, God, I don't know if I want this, I want that. Two of Swords. That's what this is all about. This is a very serious study, you guys. And you are going to learn how to be incredible tarot readers. But you must follow the simple few steps. I never asked you guys to memorize that whole list. That would be absurd. I never did, although I wrote them. Well, a lot of students contributed, too, but I mean, and of course, we are going to do a tarot intensive, but just because we begin over, that's why I offered you all the opportunity to have a little lab for spell work, because I didn't want you to lose your tarot. I don't care if you do a spell or not at this point. But I don't want you to lose your ability to read, because you'll be really sorry if you do.
Okay.
See, if all you can say, okay, what are two cards you can picture?
Well, I can picture the Emperor. I can picture the...
Oh, good, good. Okay. So we got the Emperor. Let's use that as a base card.
Mm-hmm.
What's another one?
Oh, let's see, the, Two of Cups.
Okay, great. So, if all you can say is the system is favorable, you know,
mm-hmm.
the overall man system, or the laws, or, the traditions are favorable for this relationship.
Yes, that's what I would pick out of that.
Well, then what's the problem?
I don't know.
I know.
It's when we go from like one suit to another suit, I think is what confuses me.
Now, wait a minute. You spent how many months studying air, fire, water, and earth, and that confuses you?
No. I mean, I understand this, what the suits refer to.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so what actually confuses you?
Why don't we wait till we get to the readings, I guess, and then maybe I can say something then.
I'm just trying to find out, is it the flow lines you're talking about, or the meanings?
Okay, I see what you mean. Well, sometimes the flow lines are hard to determine, but I will wait till we get to the readings.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Jennifer, anything that you did you would like to talk about?
Well, the week before Christmas, I got a root canal, which I really appreciated.
Yes, yes, I know.
And I used Earth Green Receptive, and I had very little problem. It seems like a real positive thing.
Cool.
Boxes of that. I've had pockets of rage and anger and passion that have seemed to be stuck in my spine for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that has kind of lifted. I've been flaring and sweeping with the Ethane Electric Blue.
Good, good.
And we've been doing the night ritual.
Oh, good.
And that's, I think, about it.
Okay, cool. Well, so, let's talk about multiple signifiers then. There's a couple of things I have to correct, so we might as well do those first while it's on my mind. I'm not sure in your notes, but check and see. Flip back and see. In my notes, it was about page 200, but I don't know in yours if your numbers are the same. You know how at the end of a class we give you sort of grids and various deals to do homework on?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's, in my notes, it had progressed the actual tables for progressed readings, but they were marked multiple signifier, and there are three pages of them. So just check. I think they do. You'll be able to tell because it goes a strip sort of right down the page, and it goes something like, first future, second future, third future, fourth future, or something like that, all the way down the page. So if those three pages are in your notes, they need to go to next week's class.
No, not in my notes.
Okay, good. Then it's been corrected. I couldn't tell. Okay, well then the other things I will correct as we go along. And there is a video clip on multiple signifiers. And it's just the idea that you can use more than one card for a signifier to specify greater detail in the situation or in people, relationships, or about a person or whatever that you want to read. So when we use more than one card, we call it multiple signifiers. You can use, as many cards as you need to build a picture of what you want in reason. You don't want to deplete your deck because that limits the reading. I would say up to 5 would be the greatest number normally. However, you can also make your own signifiers to not deplete your deck using pictures, symbols, lists, cutouts, written descriptions. You can use letterheads. You can use business cards. And, of course, you key them just like you would key a tarot card on your plate. And that helps to limit the, sometimes it's more accurate because it's pretty hard to specify a specific business. And if you want to specify a specific business, it's fine to use the business card for that business or the letterhead.
How would you key that?
You put it on the plate and you see it relating to that business.
Okay.
It's
all right.
Actually easier than keying a tarot card because it does relate to that business, but you enforce it with your intention.
Okay.
Then the position of how we lay these multiple signifiers down in the signifier space, and this is only true with 12 cards. You don't do this with Celtic Cross. The position of the cards, or the cards plus items and so forth, in the signifier layout determines the effect it has on the reading. So we're going to go over how that works. So any card, say if you're dealing with, say, two cards, you have a card that is in the normal place of the signifier, and then you have a card on top of and slightly to the right of the underneath signifier. So the card that is on top of and to the right is affecting the base signifier. Okay, so in other words, if you want to know how you are affecting your spouse, you put his signifier at on the bottom, and you put your signifier to the right and on top of his. And you do the 12-card reading, and that reading says, how do I affect him? If it's a him and a her. On the other hand, if you want to know how he's affecting me, then you put your signifier down first and his signifier to the right and on top of yours. So, everybody with me so far?
Yes.
Randy, that's cool?
Yes.
Okay. So that's just technique. That's the way it works. So as I said, the reading shows the effect of the second signifier on the first signifier, the top one on the bottom one. So if you put your own signifier in the first position on the bottom and the eight of discs to the right and on top of that, which signifies your career, then that will tell you how your career is affecting you. If you do the reverse, it says how you're affecting your career. Now, you can also do three card or more signifiers on more, not necessarily complex situations, but situations in which you want to very carefully spell out what you are asking for. As we said, with the two-card signifier, we can see how you're affecting your career. On the other hand, if you want to find out how your family is affecting you, and how that, in turn, is affecting your career, you can do the two signifiers just like you did, and then put a third signifier for your family. And if it's just your intimate family, in this case, it could be Three of Cups. So then you've got a progression of effect. So now, then what you have is when you get up to two and three signifiers, you have a reading that includes a number of factors. For instance, in the three signifiers that we just talked about, your career, you and your family. So what we do is, you can't read it unless you have what's called a baseline. So how you get a baseline is, if you're going to start off saying, okay, how am I going to affect my career? Your baseline you get is by doing just a reading on your career, A to D. First. Then you do a reading on your signifier on to the right and on top of the A to D. And now what is different in the two readings tells you your input. Is that clear to you guys? Did I lose you all?
You don't need the, your signifier, just the eight of disks for the first.
The first one, you just need the eight of disks. And you key it, to your career or your business.
Okay.
And you write the question, how is my business doing?
But you're saying you don't have to put your signifier down?
Not on that one. That's a baseline. Because if you put two cards on there, you have no baseline, do you? How would you separate out what the your effect on the business?
Okay. But,
huh?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So now when you do the family on top of that, so now you want to know, okay, I now understand how I'm affecting my business. But I suspect that my family is having also an effect. Some of that may show up already. But if you want more information just on that, then you do the third signifier of the Three of Cups on top of. When we say on top of, we mean on top and to the right of. So you do a reading on the Three of Cups on top of your signifier on top of the Eight of Disks. But before you do that, you have to do, no, you've already done a separate reading on your signifier, so no, that's all you have to do. You've got your baseline, you've got how you're affecting it, and now you've got how your family is in turn affecting you and it. So that only requires one extra or baseline reading.
So go through the cards again. You got the Eight of Disks.
No, the first, right. I'm sorry. You're right. You've got the Eight of Disks down first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the business.
Okay.
Or the career.
Yeah.
And now I put my, I drew a reading on that.
On just that, just the Eight of Disks.
Right. You're all going to see them in a little bit, the readings that we did. And then you put your signifier on and you do a second reading.
Okay, yeah.
Then you put the family signifier on and you do a third reading.
Okay.
And so, and it's not as complicated as you think. You just look for the anomalies. The things that stand out that are different than the first reading and the second reading.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the next paragraph, there's an error. And it's very important that we catch it. It says, for instance...
Where are you in... Let's see.
Oh, dear. I'm under number four, using
okay.
more required signifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the second to last paragraph.
Okay.
For instance, if the six of this reverse appears in the base reading, that's in your initial base reading, it tells you that you are not being fairly compensated in your career because six of this has to do with getting your fair share. Six of this reverse means you're not getting your fair share.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, here's the error. Watch this carefully. If it appears again in the second reading, you know that it refers to your career and not necessarily your effect on your career because it was a factor in the first reading. That's totally erroneous.
Okay.
Because if it occurs in the second reading, it's saying you're the cause of that effect in the first reading. Do you see that? Anything that occurs in the second reading that was also in the base reading tells you that you are responsible for that whether it's upright or reverse. Does that make sense to you all?
Okay, okay.
Is it
upright or reversed?
Yeah, sure.
Does that count to, like, the third time you've done your base, and then you do the two, and then you do the three?
Okay, yeah. If the same thing occurs in the family, then ultimately it was the family that is causing it.
But it doesn't need to occur in the second set.
No, it doesn't have to.
Okay. Just that base one is your focus there.
Right. That gives you the general overall picture. So if you got something in the first reading and it shows up in the third, that they're responsible for it. If it shows up in the second, you're responsible for it. But if it also shows up in the third, then you're only responsible for it because they're pushing on you. And there you go with the power of choice. You can do things with your beliefs, you can do things with your behaviors, your opinions, and whatever, to not allow that. But I just want you all to understand how this works. Also, the three-card signifier idea can be useful in studying relationships or any two factors in a situation. So, say you have two married people and you want to see the effect they have on their relationship. So in this case, now if you don't want to, if you just want to know what the two people are, how they're affecting the relationship, you don't care who does what, that's fine. Then you don't need a base reading. Then what you do is you put the relationship, two of cups, on the bottom. You put one person's signifier on the left, and this is different from the normal rule. In this case, you build to the left first because you're not doing a chain of cause and effect. You say, I just want to know what these two people are doing to the relationship. So put one of the people's signifier on the left, partly covering the two of cups, and one of the signifiers on the right, partly covering the two of cups. And that gives you a reading on how the two people are affecting the relationship. Now, if you want to know more precise, then you would have to do a baseline. Just reading on the two of cups, then on both, using the three signifiers, and to determine who does what, then you would have to turn around and do the two of cups as the bottom signifier, one of the person signifiers to the right and on top of it, that reading, and then do the two of cups on the bottom and the other person signifier on top and to the right of it.
The one that's on top to the right is the one that is having the effect.
Creating the effect.
Creating.
Not having the effect, creating the effect.
That's what I meant.
The one on the bottom always gets the effect. That's the rule. It's how this affects that. So, now that may seem like a lot of readings to you guys. But I tell you what. I'm going to even go a little further than that just to show you something. Have you all ever heard of family profiles?
No?
No.
Oh, God. None of you all are familiar with psychology? Okay.
Oh.
Huh?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by profile, I guess.
Oh, okay. It's called a number of things. I'm sorry. Maybe I was misleading. family portraits, family montages, family, you know, the stuff that, John, what's his name?
Bradshaw?
Yeah. Yeah, the John Bradshaw was so up on, so hip on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hero, the...
Yeah.
The villain,
mm-hmm.
the...
Oh, okay, I know all that stuff.
Okay. Well, if you go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and you want to do a whole family... Composite, is that the right word, Randy?
I don't know. That sounds reasonable.
Okay.
Yes.
Of cause and effect within the family.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very complicated thing and would take months and months and months of therapy to achieve, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Okay. You can do it in a day. And probably move far more accurate.
Mm.
Because we're only talking about 5 or 6, 7 readings.
Mm.
You know? So you can build, I don't like to go beyond 5, because it just gets unwieldy. But then most families don't go much beyond 5 anyway. So this is a little special situation. If you want to do a whole family dealy, so what you're going to do is you're going to take a signifier for every member of the family, say we've got 5. And you're going to stack them, the first 4 go, it's like a square. 2, so the first one is down with a normal signifier, the second one is parallel to that but not touching. The third one is forms the top of the square, not touching. And the fourth one forms the bottom of the square, not touching. Can you picture that?
Mm-hmm.
Now take the fifth person and lay it on top of the whole stack.
Mm-hmm.
Do that reading, and that gives you how that person affects all the rest of the family. Then
Morgan, you start with your original signifier place, and then you put one to the right of that?
Yeah, you put one of the family members down just where normal on the left, so to speak.
Okay.
And then you put the next family member to the right of that, maybe an inch apart.
Okay.
And then put the next family member laying on its side above those 2, maybe an inch apart, or maybe close so you can touch it with the 5th card.
Oh, okay.
And then, and it doesn't matter if the 5th card touches them all, actually. And then the 4th family member laying on its side is at the bottom of the pile, flipsy, of the square.
So it's more like a T instead of a full square.
You got 4 cards.
Okay.
And then the 5th family member, now if there aren't 5, then you do it with 3 and 1 on top. Still in sort of that formation.
Okay.
Or if it's only 3 members in the family, the bottom 2, and then the top 1 goes on top of half or part of the bottom 2 of each.
Okay, so whoever's on top's affecting the...
That's right.
Underneath, okay.
That's right. And then if you've got 5 people, you do 5 readings. And now you've got the actual interplay of the family dynamic.
That makes sense.
So... to me, it's a really fast way to sort of cut through the mischief. And okay, so that's all covered on the next page. You've got that. Then it gives just a few items of how you could set up these. Your signifier on the eight of this on the devil. How you affect contracts or contractual type jobs and work.
I have a question.
Yeah, I don't like that myself.
On the five, did you use a three of cups or something to get a baseline on your family profile?
No, you don't need a baseline.
Okay.
Because the baseline would be so complicated, you wouldn't be able to read it anyway.
Oh, okay.
In that case, all you're wanting to know is, what's the input of each family member into the family?
Okay.
It's a little more dynamic than taking the Ten of Cups or the Ten of Discs or the Three of Cups and using that as the family card, which obviously you could do, but I wouldn't suggest it. Instead, okay, and then each family member, how do you affect on top of the Three of Cups or the Ten of Discs or the Ten of Cups? I think this is more accurate. Now, I just caught something, so I better correct it as we're on it, which is, okay, it says, your signifier on the Eight of Discs, on the devil, how you affect contracts. Well, that's wrong already.
Wait a minute, I'm trying to... Where are we in here?
It's on bullet right below...
63. 63? Okay. Yeah, okay.
You see the bullets?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, so the problem here is... This is cool. The problem here is if you put your signifier on the Eight of Discs, that's how you're affecting your work. And if that's on the devil, and how that is affecting your ability to keep your contracts and your commitments and so forth on the world plane. But that's not what is stated here. It says how you affect contracts. So, if you want to do that, I would just do Eight of Discs on the devil. I mean, I'm sorry, you're a signifier on the devil. You don't need the Eight of Discs. Now, Ace of Discs on your signifier, find out where health problems are coming from if the Ace of Discs or the Sun keeps coming up reversed in your readings. That's valid. Questions at all?
This is expanded. You haven't done that yet. Excuse me.
I'm sorry?
I had a question on the expanded one, but...
Oh, I'm not going to... I moved the expanded to the next class.
Oh, okay.
So I forgot to tell you all that. Take that part of your notes and move it to the next class. It works better that way.
Since I have when you expand, it talks of taking the pair of cards or a stack. Would you take a whole pass line and put it in your stack? Or are you always
working? I think we're not doing expanding.
Okay.
No, don't jump ahead, because it isn't what you think it is. It's what's called a blow-up. You know what a blow-up is, Jennifer? Did you ever see the movie Blow Up?
No.
Okay, if you took a photograph and you took it in a garden or a lovely park. And in the leaves at the edge of the park, in the bushes, you saw something, but you couldn't make it out what it was. And using the techniques that we have, even before computers you could do this, you could then blow that picture up, right?
Yeah.
And get a closer look. And if that wasn't enough yet, you could blow it up again. That's what these are. And you only do a pair of cards at a time.
Okay.
So you're doing a reading and you've got fortune reversed, second card, eight of discs, and you say, whoa, I see that and I see the flow lines and all, but I don't have enough information about that. What's going to cause that? I need more. You blow that up. You blow those two cards up. By doing a reading on those two cards on top of your original signifier.
But it will be two cards on the signifier. It won't be more than two cards.
Exactly the pair of cards as they are in the reading.
Okay.
You just lift them up and move them over. Now, there's some extraordinary uses for that, which I want to cover, and it's so important, I did not want to include it in this week's class. It's too vital. Because it's how you hunt for adverse spells that are cleverly hidden, that don't show up in an initial reading, because they've been disguised. It's been disguised. Randy, I also have a suggestion for you, aside from the one of wearing a card every day. Do a reading, because we've got now multiple signifiers to work on, and send me the reading, and then we'll get on the phone together and talk about it.
All right.
Now, I already said that to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have to take responsibility. I will teach you the material. I guarantee you to teach you the material, but I can't make you do it.
That's right.
Okay. Enough said, and I'm not picking on you.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's look at the reading on Dan. It's hard to decide who to pick, but... And we'll, everybody will get a reading of some sort or another, so don't worry.
Now, let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see, what date of the Dan readings are we?
Tiddly-pum. 12/29.
All right.
Yeah, the first reading, since we're studying multiple signifiers, is I said, okay, I'll take his signifier and put it over the three of discs. How is he affecting his new business? Okay. And the whole idea was I wanted to, since we're doing multiple signifiers, but also since we're starting to talk about spell work, this is how you determine whether a spell would be useful or not. So, anyway, so the first reading is just that. How is he affecting his new business venture? And I assume you all have copies in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the lines as I see it would be from Judgment Reverse, star, in the lower left-hand corner, over two steps over in the pass line to Three of Cups Reverse Strength. Oh, there's an error in this reading, which is real obvious. right above that Fortune Two of Cups, but there's the King of Discs there. Just put an X over it and know it's the Two of Cups. Okay, so we've got Judgment reverse star over the Three of Cups reverse strength. And from there, I went up to Queen of Swords reverse Fool in the future line.
All right. Go by that one more time.
Which part?
I just changed out the Queen of...
Okay. So, Judgment Reverse Star.
Judgment Reverse Star. Mm-hmm.
In the lower left corner.
Through the Three of Cups.
Strength.
Yes.
Three of Cups Reverse Strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then up to the 12th position in the future line.
Reverse Queen of Swords?
No, it's Reverse Queen of Swords Fool.
Reverse Queen. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, what would that tell us? Dan, what would Judgment Reverse Star, what could you say about that, not in regard, only in regards to the effect, but the timing of it?
Well, it's not using what you know. And
To gain your
spiritual balance.
Right. Or your spiritual strength, or whatever you want to call it. Okay, now, but what else about that is important to know? This is something you all often miss.
In the past.
I'm sorry?
It's an influence from the past. And it's
how far in the past?
Well, it's major arcana, so it's somewhere in the distant past.
It's double major arcana, so it's in other lifetimes.
Okay.
So that's important to know. Because you might not be able to verify where that's coming from this lifetime, except to know that it's coming from another lifetime. Do you see my point?
Yes.
And there's no point in beating yourself up from something that carried over from another lifetime. No point in beating yourself up anyway, but we tend to.
I took the flow line from there. I didn't come over to the strength card. I went up to the reverse moon.
Well, I was tempted to do that, but then it seemed to me the more likely that the Three of Swords reverse, Nine of Wands, fed the reverse moon, Ace of Wands. You could possibly argue it any way, and then I took the reverse moon up to the reverse eight of discs, King of Wands.
I did that.
Okay. So how did you feed the moon reverse?
Well, that's where I came from, the reverse judgment.
Okay. I started to do that and decided I didn't think so.
And I also saw that in that line, the Eight of Discs, the Moon Reverse, and the Three of Swords were all covered by wands. I felt that to have some significance.
The Eight of Discs, the Three of Swords, and the moon. Yeah, well, that's why I did it that way. Bam, 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 right up the line. But consider what this, the implication here. If you're not in touch with your past spiritual experience in regards to developing a strong spiritual life from your past, obviously you're busy recreating it in the present. And that is part of what, as I see it, created a dilemma of strength in the family, in your family situation. Had you have been in touch with that, you wouldn't have done it.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I took it up to the Queen of Swords, Reverse Fool, because I feel that because of that, you would be, your whole enterprise would be getting adverse energy from her in regards to your mastery. I think she'd be jealous.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So now consider this. If we've got a situation and we've got family innuendos based on our own past, say, errors. And it's not an error in a big sense, but I mean, you know, lack of being in touch with what we once knew.
Okay.
It's going to be real difficult to do a spell to correct that. That part of it. Okay, that's not the only thing we're dealing with. Then we talk about the Three of Swords reverse, Nine of Wands, and the Moon reverse, Ace of Wands, and the Eight of Discs reverse, King of Wands. Well, I'm not going to sit here and analyze all of this because you all by now should get a pretty good idea. But if the final outcome is it isn't very favorable for your business in the future, that's what we need to know. If you're going to do a spell, you would need to look at all the factors, of course. And then, this is just our base reading. Now, the favorable aspects, you've got Justice, Three of Wands. That's very good. You're working with higher laws appropriately and making that a part of your path. That's very helpful. Fortune, Two of Cups, is very helpful. However, it's in present and not in future. So we would have to reinforce that, but it means you're operating at a high enough level that where you can relate to a cup, that you're not, in other words, you've lifted a lot of this off of the mundane. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And then next door to that, that goes over to Two of Swords, Six of Cups, which says, okay, so your choice making is good about your desires, and in line with your how you were nurtured and so forth, it means you've got your emotions properly invested there. And then I took Fortune over to Ten of Wands, Ace of Cups, way over to the left. a strong position you're standing in, very strong. So, and then, of course, from there, it goes up to the Five of Cups, Page of Discs. That's certainly favorable. Six of Wands, Sun is very favorable. Okay, so that's your base reading. Now, any questions so far?
What is the significance of the Eight of Discs reverse covered by the King of Wands?
Troubles, right here in River City.
Yeah, that's what I see. Is that, can you tie that back into the reverse moon?
Yeah, I can, but I don't worry about it too much. You know, all I'm doing here is seeing will a spell help. So I don't get too invested in all the factors and features of the base reading.
Well, I thought the other one was if a spell would help.
It is. This is the base reading.
Yeah.
So all we're looking at is what are the things for you, what are the things against you.
Okay.
And then we're going to do this second reading and say, does it make it better? That's the whole process.
Okay.
You know, how does the first reading compare to the second reading? I mean, yeah, I can sit down and go over all these pairs of cards with you, but for the purposes of what we're doing here today, it's not really that important. But, I mean, just basically, if that sort of got your attention, if the Three of Swords reverse, Nine of Wands, says that you got principles sort of out of order in the past,
uh-huh,
in regards to, you know, like standing strongly in your convictions.
Yeah.
Then Moon Reverse says that you didn't honor all the feelings involved and kind of take them up to the higher level. You were taking the spell, you're taking your business up to the higher level, but there are certain feelings involved that did not get up to the higher level in regards to your whole body of knowledge, and that's going to have an effect on the whole operation.
Okay.
So now let's look at the second reading. Anybody else have questions? Randy?
No.
I hope you're able to follow this along as I read.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer?
No.
Again, I know this is a little hard. Oh, say you don't have a second reading? No, it's, yes, you don't. Okay.
She gave it to me, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so now we've got three signifiers. We want to know how will a spell affect the situation. So we take the spell card, the Magi, the Magician. That's always the spell card. And we put it on top of the three. Will spell help? Okay. So, just taking an eyeball look at this, Dan, what would you say?
I'd say I don't want one.
That future line looks awesome, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Don't be so quick to make that decision. I'll show you why. That would be your normal thought.
Okay.
Whoa, this is tough stuff. Now, what that future line means, if you're proposing a spell, you haven't done the spell yet.
Right.
When you write the spell, what do you think the future line will be?
What I would like to address in the spell.
Oh, come on. Look at it. If you're not doing the spell now, You're going to do the spell 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now. What will the future line be?
It'll be the present.
Right on. Everybody see that?
It'll be the present?
Yeah. You think time stands still?
Okay. Yeah.
So by the time we get to the spell, it's going to move into the present. What does that mean? These are the factors that we must write and address in the spell.
Okay.
This is what the spell must overcome. Can we do it or not? Tough call. But, you see, you've got a priestess, Ace of Cups, in the present, in the now present, right?
Yeah.
That's a damn good indicator. The Lovers reverse Nine of Cups, I wouldn't even worry too much about it because that's all the past stuff we just talked about in the other reading. And you're already working on that. Tower reverse, Eight of Discs, and I did flow lines and all this. But it's hardly even that critical at this point. But Tower reverse, Eight of Discs, what could we say? Okay, here's what I would say. Would you all agree that we're in a period of chaos?
Yes.
In the world?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, it would say that if you left the spell totally on the world plane, it is subject to that chaos. Does that make sense? So you would have to do something to lift it out of what we were talking about in the beginning of this class, the law of accident. You would have to boot it up out of the realm of the law of accident. Do you see? And as far as the Eight of Swords reverse, King of Swords, you would have to make sure that you did no binding in your spell. Do you see what I'm getting at? Remember, Eight of Swords reverse is lack of freedom?
Yes.
So, okay, say for instance, you decide that, yes, it is true that one of your family members could put some negative energy on the spell.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But you can't write into the spell. You can write things to help sort of curtail that. But you can't write things that say she can't do that because you're interfering with her free will. Bind not, lest ye be bound.
Yeah.
Rules of the road. So that's a warning, you see? That's a vital piece of information when you go to write your directives and limiters. Because, guys, you think spells are, let's sit down and write some verses and say them and we got a spell. I'll tell you what, it's a hell of a lot more work than that. That is not how it's done. You do these readings, and when you feel you've got a viable spell, then you sit down and you write what's called directives and limiters that are to direct the spell, which works like lightning. It goes by path of least resistance. So it must be directed to do exactly and only what you want it to do, and it must be limited to do nothing else. And that's where your total understanding of magic comes in. And then you do readings on that, and you change it. You do readings again, and you change it. You do it until it's right. Then you write verses. And you do readings on that. This is spell work. This is not Harry Potter stuff. This is the way it's really done. And I know some of you are saying, oh my God, that's a lot of time. The first candle spell I did, I spent 100 hours on. Now, that was excessive. I don't recommend that in any way, shape, or form. I just happen to be a double Sagittarius. You know, it takes some time, but the rewards... Okay, let me tell you. I went to acupuncture school a number of 25 or so years ago. For various curious reasons, not totally in my control, I never got my diploma. My degree, whatever you want to call it, you know, the parchment or whatever you want to call it. Years later, I felt very unhappy about that. I felt very limited by that. Because I had nothing that said I had done all this work. So, I did a reading on the situation, and it looked pretty bad. There were opposing forces at the school that I didn't even know. Or maybe I didn't remember, or whatever, that I would have to deal with. So I did a tarot spell, which is another form of spell work that we'll get into later. And I got my degree in 6 months. And I'll tell you what, there's no way I should have gotten the degree because to get it, I had to have taken anatomy physiology and I never took it, and that was in my file and I got it anyway. Another situation. Some years ago, my dad died, and at the last minute, with possible hanky-panky involved, the whole inheritance that he left me, he left my older brother just tons of money. And he left me basically only the proceeds of the sale of our family home. And then, at the last minute, 2 days before he died, this codicil appears. And my brother and my dad have identical handwriting, if that means anything. I'm not saying my brother did this, but I'm not saying he's beyond it either. He changed it so that I only got, instead of some almost $300,000, I get $50,000. I could take any time I wanted. And the rest was tied up in a trust, which all I got of was the interest. And at my death, my brother got all the rest. And of course, initially that wasn't, well, it was pretty bad, but I mean, the interest was fairly good for a while, and then you all know what happened economically. So I did a tarot spell. Now this is impossible, basically impossible. I did a tarot spell to break that trust. My brother doesn't agree with anything I ever say. After I did the tarot spell, I called him. I said, let's break the trust. I said, you gotta be crazy. I said, well, that's what I want. He said, well, you're not gonna get it. 6 months later, he called me and said, let's break the trust. I still didn't get my fair share out of it. So what? I got more than I would have gotten otherwise. So that's how spells work. And you can't believe the judicial stuff that had to happen for that to happen. So, anyway, enough wisely. So, I wanted you all to see a more clear indicator of a spell that when it's indicated that a spell would work easily. So if you look at Stephanie's reading, 6 of Discs, and it's written down what the question is, to get her a fair share out of selling her horse, 2 of her horses, and so forth. And if you just sort of eyeball the reading, again, there's a lot of stuff good and a lot of stuff not so good. There's a star reverse death in the past that goes up to a two of swords reverse devil that actually doesn't refer to Stephanie at all. It refers to the person that's leveraging the horses. That goes up to five of swords reverse eight of cups. So that's a problem. Then there's lighter problems starting out with the past line, the four of cups reverse, knight of disc, going over to the nine of wands reverse, seven of disc. This is Stephanie's. Going up to the nine of disc reverse, eight of disc. You see, as it goes up, it gets more severe. And then goes up finally to the ace of disc reverse, five of wands. So that's troublesome. And then we also have it going up to the six of wands reverse, queen of cups in the present, and up to the seven of wands reverse, three of wands in the future. You know, kind of meaning issues, struggles with issues, which is exactly what she doesn't want. Temperance, upright in the past, king of disc. Okay, so she's got some spiritual force to work with. Three of Swords, justice, that's valuable. Page of Cups, strength, that's valuable. So she's got some valuable factors, but there's a lot of reverses. Okay. So then, look at, I don't see a double signifier on mine. Maybe you all have it, but it should be Magi on top of the six of discs. Is that what you all have?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the proposed spell. Okay, so right off the bat, we've got World Sun. Cool. See, the whole idea of this is to do something and avoid all the personality junk that people have, since you're dealing with people, and all the forces and factors that that produces in sort of a mechanical world base. You need to take it up to a level where synchronicity or spell work works. And that's what that's talking about. And so when you get up to Knight of Wands, Two of Swords, it's exactly what it's talking about. You use a lot of wisdom and force in the choices that you make to set this thing up. And see, this is the confirmation of it. Right over there on the left in the present line, Empress, Five of Wands. What that says is you've got to take it up to the level of what we call powers and beings. You've got to take it up out of the everyday world and into the world where you can get help from angels, from totem spirits, from the winds, from whomever is able to be of help that you can call on. That's what that's telling. Get it up where all the issues are not important, where they're doable. And then going up to the priestess, Five of Discs, is real confirmation that the spell will deal with the major issue. See, the major issue of the person that is selling the horses and managing the whole thing down in Texas has huge poverty issues. Plus, he's an alcoholic. So the idea here is to take it up where her influence, her world influence, is not an influence. Can't affect. She can help but not hurt. And then the negatives they're pretty much the things that, again, like I said to Dan, that you have to build into the spell matrix to gather the forces that you need. So that Ace of Swords, Reverse Chariot, and the Future Line means a lot of energy in the spell to control it properly. I mean, Pat, I hope you guys are getting this. It's so simple. Well, you know, once you get it. Obviously, it's not when you don't get it. And that the Eight of Swords, Upright Tower, that's like having taken it up to that level. That's the level of freedom and free choice and so forth, above all the interpolated influences on the world plane. So this is more the way a reading would look like if it was, to me, like clearly indicating a spell will work. This is clear.
So is that Future Line going to go like that, whether you do a spell or not? When it
yes.
shifts down to present?
Yes.
So just by not doing a spell, you're not going to change nothing?
Just by not doing a spell.
So it says, how will a spell affect it? So I think, should I do the spell or no spell?
Okay. It's not actually so much necessarily an issue, should I do it or not do it?
Okay.
It's, can I build a spell strong enough to take care of these issues?
Okay. But we don't do spells till in a couple weeks, do we?
Well, right. But
okay.
Is there anything wrong with seeing how, since we're dealing with multiple signifiers, is there anything wrong with seeing how you find all this out?
No, but I missed you saying pick a card and focus on it every day too, so just
Good for you. Good for you. Always ask. Great. But we wrote one set of directives and limiters. Kind of more the way you would normally do, with some references to getting help from higher beings and so forth. And we did a reading on it. It was horrible. And I suspected it would be, because when Stephanie read me her directives and limiters, they sounded weak. So we rewrote them. We haven't had a chance to test it again, but we wrote them much, 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 much stronger. I suspect that will come out really well. Also, when we get to spell work, we will send you all a lot of sample readings and sample directives and limiters. So, and we have a class on directives and limiters, too, so you won't be in the dark as to how to write them. So,
questions or comments, Dan?
I can see a little more clearly on Stephanie's reading about the writing the spell. I'm a little, or the effectiveness that you could have with the spell, I'm still a little fuzzy on the one that you did on me.
Well,
as to
the major difference is,
hers seems clearer than mine did.
It is, that's why I gave it to you all. It is clear. It does not mean you couldn't do a spell. But I'll tell you what I would do in regards to yours. I would wait a week or so and do another reading the same. Not the base reading. Because you know how things shift?
Yeah.
I would test it again. Maybe just your hearing all this shifted some things.
Yeah, shifted in the high gear.
So you would keep the base reading and in 2 weeks, say, redo, how would a spell affect the business?
Right.
If any of you guys would like to know what the business is, see it on the internet. It's www.myrealtyresource.com.
So you're a realtor, Dan?
Yeah, I'm a real estate appraiser and a real estate broker, and then this real estate related website that is going to be is a national website that I've created.
I see.
For all the backup support stuff that has to happen to sell a property, right?
Correct.
Which is generally people bogged down. Don't real estate people bog down in that a lot?
Yeah, there's a lot of miscommunication and lack of communication, and that's what this site solves.
Right, right. And it gives, does it give resources as well?
Yes.
Right. So it really takes a huge sort of unknown to the public, but very real to you people, problem out of, well, at least a major problem out of the works.
Yes.
And it's probably, from what you say, where a lot of your, i.e. downtime, and I mean by downtime, when you're not out showing, is probably burned up.
Oh, absolutely. It's just me using the site myself. I've already cut my superfluous telephone calls down by about 60%.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Everybody that's using it is just absolutely loving it, so it's got tremendous acceptance.
So you've got good subscription already?
We have some subscription, but we're about to put a major push on it.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, I hope this was helpful to you in some ways.
Oh, yes.
And Randy, you make a promise to me that I want you to commit to doing your part, and I commit that you will become a fabulous tarot reader.
All right. I will commit. I will start pulling a card each day.
Yeah, we can all do that.
Can I carry that card with me, or do I...
I would not suggest that.
Okay.
Like I say, you can write it down.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that card real hard before you read home, and you make sure you can remember what it looks like.
Okay.
Just one card.
All right.
But you don't want to be separating your deck around the place.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Okay, you guys, I didn't give you the exit ritual and the day greetings and day endings, which I will do. Let's see. Oh, I changed it from what your notes say, because we did Walking in Beauty. So I changed it to using my knowledge, I greet you. Don't think that's lightweight. The whole ability of being a magician or a sorcerer is to use your knowledge. Just having it means nothing. So if there are any questions or comments, or if not, we are done.
I have one thing I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
Now, it's something you mentioned the last time that we were together. You said something about the hologram that is created in NLP with the movement of the eyes.
Can you tell me a little more?
You said something to the effect that you would be amazed at how the movement, the NLP and the movement of the eyes creates the hologram of the world and the reality of it.
Okay.
And I know that's a lot, but you just piqued my interest.
Well,
it's
not dependent on NLP. It's dependent on the eyes.
Okay.
You see, when the eyes shift, they emanate energy, attention. Okay, let's say your attention goes out through your eyes, okay? I'm having to give it to you in sort of non-technical terms because we're going to get into some studies later on that's all about Carlos Castaneda, and he calls it the movement of the assemblage point, but at this point that would be useless to talk about. But when the eyes plus the attention strike, there, say, the holographic plate that is out there surrounding all of us. You can't see it. But when your attention and your focus strike it, according to the angle, which is, of course, according to your attention, that it hits it, you perceive different realities, different worlds, different universes, and so forth.
Okay.
I only use NLP because a lot of people are familiar with that, and that's sort of a technique to what they call reprogram and one's reality. Well, this is way beyond that. This is not reprogramming, this is controlling.
I remember in one of the books, Carlos Castaneda books, that he said something about moving the eyes to above the horizon.
Well, that's
is that where he was getting into that?
No, that's probably something different. It has all not to do with where you move your eyes. It is what your attention is putting at.
So the physical movement of the eyes really doesn't have anything to do with it. It's the
no, it's the movement of your inner attention.
Okay. All right, I understand.
And that moves the eyes, not like you think. Not like I'm looking over here, now I'm looking over there. It moves the eyes in a different way.
Like when you have your eyes closed and you can move your attention and it seems that your eyes are...
Yeah, you could. Well, it wouldn't be as easy because there is an emanation that goes out through the eyes that connects with that photographic plate, the holographic plate. And it lights up the plate.
All right.
We'll go in. We'll be studying that in great depth down the road a bit. Okay, you guys. Any other questions?
No, I just feel like there is just, I mean, so much to the world that you describe that it is just beyond my belief.
Hang on to your seat. Goes way beyond that.
Hmm.
All we ask you to do is suspend disbelief, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't ask you to believe anything. You're not in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Just enjoy it, Randy.
Oh, I am. I just find it fascinating.
Well, it is. It is. You're right. You're absolutely right. It is a totally different universe. It is a totally different world. But you see, it's a world that we have the ability to affect and therefore not suffer so much.
Ah.
Okay, you guys, this was a wonderful class for me. I hope it was for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye now.